Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Bielo, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today.
With the virtual landslide of social media options we have, a few have emerged as basic and necessary to anyone who has their own business or who needs to navigate the corporate landscape. They are like the social media triple threat, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Of the three, LinkedIn has been the most mysterious to me, and conversations with friends and colleagues have revealed that I am not alone. I'm really pleased to welcome LinkedIn expert and fellow introvert entrepreneur Vivica von Rosen to the podcast. In this special two-part series, we're going to cover the LinkedIn fundamentals, as well as some more advanced techniques to grow your network. Vivica is a successful entrepreneur, nationally renowned IA-certified LinkedIn trainer and expert, and a respected social media speaker. Her extensive sales and marketing background includes a specialization in helping her clients use social media marketing techniques to increase their business exposure. Vivica has been named Master of Social Media for ABCN, the world's largest office business center broker and training company. She is a key member and trainer in the LinkedIn Strategies Group, a conglomerate of the top LinkedIn trainers in the world. She moderates the weekly hashtag LinkedIn chat on Twitter and is the author of LinkedIn to Business, LinkedIn to Law, and the Smart Blonde Media. Vivica was also just accepted into the Social Media Jockeys, a groundbreaking social media development and management company. From a strong background in life and business coaching and a history of working with professional women, Vivica is currently writing Empower, her book on women in social media and how social media becomes a tool of empowerment. And she's also writing Social Media by Women for Women, an ebook of interviews from some of the most powerful women on using social media. And finally, she's authoring Social Media in 10 Minutes a Day, expected release date for October of 2010. Welcome to the show, Vivica. I am so glad that you're here to join us.
Well, thank you.
So let's, you know, to kick things off, if you could tell us a little bit about your business. You have a business called LinkedIn to Business. What's that all about?
It was about the fact that I wasn't actually allowed to use LinkedIn in a name, so if it's linked into business, then I can get away with the website name like that.
Yes.
What it's actually about is helping business people use social media as a marketing tool, as a communications tool, as a networking tool. I have a blog on my website that I have people tell me I give away too much free stuff. Oh, well. So there's a lot of information for the entrepreneur or the small business owner on how to use social media, mainly LinkedIn, but other social mediums as well, as marketing tools or connecting tools or ways of building their brands. I think we need a lot of help. While these social media sites seem very intuitive, they're sometimes not. So just, you know, a little hint here and a little hint there can help people, you know, take off in a big way.
Yeah, I know for myself that there's just enough similarities between some of these sites and just enough differences that it really can get a little perplexed, you know, a little confusing to sort it all out and make sure I'm making the most of each of them.
And well, exactly. They all have very different cultures. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all social media sites, but LinkedIn versus Twitter versus Facebook all have very, very different cultures. And so if you treat them the same way, you're not going to get the results or the response you probably want.
Yeah. And how would you define LinkedIn's culture?
LinkedIn is a business networking site. I mean, that's kind of obvious, and yet as people who are more used to Facebook or who are more used to Twitter come in and start, you know, updating 4, 5, 10 times a day about things that they're doing that are not related to business, it can kind of turn off their network. So LinkedIn is very much a business networking site, which makes it the most comfortable site, I think, for people to get started on. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people start with Facebook because they're already on it for personal reasons, but I started with LinkedIn, and I find a lot of my professionals prefer to start with LinkedIn because they kind of understand it a little bit more.
And what you're saying is making me think, like, if I were to think of the culture of Facebook, I always think of it as like the big class reunion. and that is a good distinguishing point when you said about LinkedIn. It's really about your business connections.
And exactly. It's more like a chamber networking event than like you said, a birthday party or a class.
Class reunion.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a chamber networking event. That's a great analogy. So you were just saying that a lot of business owners find it comfortable to be on LinkedIn. So what are some of the benefits for entrepreneurs of being an active presence on LinkedIn?
Well, it's really threefold. You know, the first benefit, of course, is you can grow your network out. So just like any networking event, like a chamber event, et cetera, you get to expand your network. You get to meet new people. You just get to do it in an exponential way because, for several reasons, online networking, of course, there's no borders. So especially if you have a business where you can work with clients who are in another state or even in another country, LinkedIn gives you an avenue or a channel to do that. And then the exponential part of that, which, you know, Facebook has and Twitter has, but it's not so clear and easy to use in that if I'm connected to one person, then I get access to that person's network and that person's network. So literally by connecting to me, you get 1.8 million people in your network. And so that's 1.8 million people that you could theoretically do business with. And so the expansion of your network is a huge, huge reason for clients or entrepreneurs to be using social media and LinkedIn in particular. And then, of course, branding, because it is a business networking site. And so I recommend to my clients they get very, very clear on their offers and then use those search terms or those keywords throughout their profile. So when someone is looking for a specific brand, a specific offer, a specific service, that their profiles actually come up. And if they've done a lot of marketing already, if they already have those marketing assets, they can use some of the applications as well as just the format of the profile to repurpose that content, which is very powerful. I'm a big fan of repurposing. And then finally, past or beyond the brand, it is just about sharing some materials that your client or potential client might find useful. And then, you know, there's also the benefit of being able to find vendors, people in cities that you might be traveling to, potential joint venture folks, strategic partners, clients, employees. I mean, it's just a wealth of people.
Yeah.
People that you can, you know, that you can do business with.
Well, I'd like to have a follow-up question on that. One thing I noticed when I joined LinkedIn that felt different from some other sites is when it asks you if you want to, you know, when you're connecting with other people, mm-hmm. it asks you to specify your relationship, and it says, you know, only connect with people that you know. And so how do you balance that with not just, you know, trying to get a whole bunch of LinkedIn connections, but making those new connections and quality connections with some people that you might not know, but that, as you say, you could have potential business with.
Exactly. So let me tell you what LinkedIn's party line is, and then I'll tell you what mine is.
Oh, great.
You're absolutely right. LinkedIn, it believes in the strategic network, and that's a network where you know at least your first level. You know everyone in your first level. Mm-hmm. And then the idea that LinkedIn has is that you then get those people to introduce you to other folks in their network that you can do business with. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why LinkedIn was created. That's probably the best way of using it. My issue with a strategic, or my friend Lori Maycomber calls it a lamb network. Look at my buddies. Look at my friends. My issue with the lamb network on LinkedIn is that LinkedIn hides you from people outside of your network. So essentially, LinkedIn's only as useful as the size of your network. And if you're doing a strategic network within LinkedIn, that means your bottom line, your total number of connections is going to be in that, you know, 2 to 5 million person range, which seems like a lot. Now that LinkedIn just topped 75 million users, wow. It's not. It's just a fraction of the folks that you could be doing business with. And so the strategic network, the I actually know you and can you introduce me to this person is very, very powerful. And I definitely have a strategic network within my open network. Now, the only reason I'm an open networker is not so that I can get a bunch of names on a mailing list and I can flood people with spam, which is what people think about open networkers, but that's not true. Mm-hmm. The only reason for being an open networker is just so I am more visible to potential clients, to potential JVs, to potential partners, that JVs and employees and partners are visible to me. And that's the only reason I do that. So an open networker is just someone who will accept any invitation. To mm-hmm. me, you're innocent until proven guilty. Now, if you invite me to connect and we connect and you drive me nuts with spammy sales messages, then yes, I will disconnect from you. But you know, for the most part, I'm an open networker. We're known as Lions, LinkedIn open networker, so that I'm visible and so that the people I need to connect with are visible. There are some ways, which I think we'll talk about a little bit more in round two of this interview, but there are ways of connecting with folks beyond the introduction, because while the introduction was a really good theory, it doesn't work very well. So we can talk about that a little later.
Great, yes, and thank you for bringing that up. This is part one of part two, or part one of two conversations, because this is such a rich topic, and I appreciate that distinction between the lions and the lambs, and that's something I know that we're going to go a little bit more into, but on a very basic level, I appreciate the explanation about that, you know, first connection, second connection. I'm picturing kind of concentric circles.
Exactly.
That expand out, and the further out the circle, probably the less likely I am to have experienced you personally, mm-hmm. but that you are, you know, 6 degrees of separation maybe from my first level of contacts.
You know, I liken it to a fishing hole within a larger lake. Mm. You know, I'm not going to go fish in a stream with one little fishing hole and expect to catch everything I need. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to a lake, and then, which is my open network. I've got this huge, large, you know, we can call it the Great Lakes, this mm-hmm. huge, large expanse, and then I have some strategic fishing holes where I know that if I go there, chances are I'm going to find what I need. And so my strategic connections are within my open networker. Or open network, but I want at least the ability to go for, you know, tuna as well as whatever some other kind of salt fish is.
Salmon.
It only goes as far as my ability. My analogy only goes as far as my fishing experience, which is essentially nil.
Same with me. I'm afraid I can't help you out with that one. I do know salmon are saltwater, so at least there's
exactly.
Oh. So speaking of strategy, you know, one of the things that LinkedIn is one tool in a larger social media strategy. So how does it fit in for an entrepreneur with other things that they might be doing, such as Facebook or Twitter or Biznic or other networks?
You know, I use all three. I certainly use Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook, I think, but I'm odd that way. I use Facebook less than I use the other two. I really do use Facebook for true friend-on-friend relationships. I'm not exactly a strategic networker on Facebook, but I do know a much larger percentage mm-hmm. of my connections on Facebook than I do on the other two. And so it really is about building firm relationships, firm friendships, keeping up with friends locally. I mean, it really is for me, Facebook's about keeping up with my local network. You know, of course, I've got friends on Facebook that aren't local, and we do share and keep up that way. But it really is the friendly side of that. And then Twitter has been just the most unbelievable PR tool for me. Almost all my interviews, almost all my presentations, you know, any kind of press I get seems to all come through Twitter. I'm also, of course, an open networker there. I think I'm almost at 30,000. So, you know, people who jump onto my LinkedIn chat or just know me through some of the other people I've met through Twitter, that's how I get my, you know, that's usually how I get my radio interviews and my PR. So Twitter's been an absolutely invaluable tool for me. It's also been how I've established most of my strategic partnerships with, you know, folks who are pretty big names in our field. And that has been unbelievable. I like to say, you know, Twitter just absolutely smashes the glass ceiling because I have relationships with people that, let's face it, are out of my league, you know. and they're friends. Like when they come into town, you know, we go out for coffee. So it's not even like a quote social media friendship, which is, you know each other's names. It's transposed into true relationships. But I have to say that LinkedIn is where I make my money. And what was interesting was I had, and we'll probably talk about this in the next round, but I had and continue to have an issue with LinkedIn in that they've essentially blacklisted me. And as soon as that happened, I went from getting about 20 warm leads a week to about 4. And so I'll explain what to do and what not to do so, you know, those listening don't do the wrong things.
Yeah.
And I do take full responsibility. I did break some end user agreements, so... so that, you know, that alone probably cost me tens of thousands of dollars. So yeah, my money, my actual paying clients do come through LinkedIn.
So how much
friendship PR clients?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like that's kind of the continuum that people mm-hmm. fall on. And it sounds like Twitter is really a powerful point of entry for you. That it's
truly
where a lot of relationships are established and then moved over to LinkedIn and come to fruition.
Correct. Yeah. And you know, my conversation is always still. I don't do much conversing. That's the word I was looking for. I don't do much conversing on LinkedIn. Actually, by the time I get to LinkedIn or I build a relationship on LinkedIn, we're back into phone calls and emails. But Twitter is a good place to converse. I mean, and publicly converse, and that's where I think the PR comes in.
So informing all of these relationships, and it sounds like I listen to this and I think you must be spending all day on Twitter and LinkedIn.
What is it?
And so do you personally have a way that you structure your interaction with these to really make the most of it? And how much time do you spend?
That's an excellent question. Now I do spend way more than people have to, and I because I'm not as strategic as I could be, I'm actually developing a webinar series called Social Media in 15 Minutes a Day, and it is very, very possible to do social media, well, to do Facebook in 15 minutes a day, to do LinkedIn in 15 minutes a day, and to do Twitter in 15 minutes a day. So realistically, for an entrepreneur, you can do social media very, very powerfully in under an hour. Now, I'm leaving out blogging because we all know how long it takes to write a blog. And mm-hmm. so for folks who are going to blog daily, which is very, very powerful, you got another hour going on there. But for the other uses of social media and LinkedIn in particular, you know, building your network, responding to your network, helping people out, asking questions, answering questions, building relationships through groups, 15 minutes a day. But you have to be very... controlled in time.
Yeah.
Very focused. Yeah, that's the word, focused. Mm-hmm. It's a mm-hmm. word I don't know and don't use very often.
Getting it out of my focus. Well,
I don't know if social media works better for people with ADD or sure.
Well,
it's probably both.
I feel like it's the one place. It's one place that and cleaning my house, where ADD kicks in, where I literally go into one room and then think, oh, why did I come in here? Oh,
yeah,
bright shiny object, and I think I've got to tend to that. And then 20 minutes later, I'm like, okay, so why did I walk in here? And I find that same thing could happen with social media. I'll visit a site and then I get distracted by a link, and then I'll come back and. So this idea that it can be accomplished in 15 minutes seems very powerful and foreign.
It really can, but like I said, you have to be focused, and mm-hmm. you just have to do it and do it and do it and not go, because I'm exactly the same way. Like, I'll be on LinkedIn, and I'll see someone there that I know in Twitter, and they'll go, oh, yeah, they sent me a DM. I better respond to that. So I'll jump onto Twitter, and then they'll lead me over to Facebook, and then since I'm in Facebook anyway, I'll check my notifications, which will remind me that I have to return an email, and then 2.5 hours later, I get back to that original message on LinkedIn.
Yes.
So you just have to go through it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do that, and then do that, and then do that, and then go to the next. Yeah, because, yeah, you can definitely spend hours just flitting around.
Mm-hmm. And I think as entrepreneurs, I'm sure I've probably been guilty of this, but it also has this, especially for solopreneurs, I think, it has this mm-hmm. feeling that we're busy and that we're making progress yes. and we're doing something, even though really in some reality we are frittering away our time a little bit, and we can be much more effective if we decide to focus, and then that frees us up for the other things so that we're not, you know, working at 9 p.m.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I had a friend ask me the other day, they said, so what do you do for, you know, what do you do for fun? And I'm like, work.
Work. Exactly. Yeah.
Get on Twitter.
Yeah. I find myself impatient for the weekends to end so that I could get back to work.
Exactly. It is kind of pathetic, but there you go.
It is. But it's our lives, and it's fun, and we chose it, and that's what's powerful.
Exactly.
I think it's our choice. So.
Well, you know, and it's such an amazing outlet for introverts, because believe it or not, I'm an introvert in that I get fueled up by my alone time. I don't get fueled up by being around other people. And even though I come across as an extreme extrovert, I'm actually an introvert. And so I love social media because it allows me to interact with people while being alone.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that as introverts we have to be very careful of is if we do want to actually use social media as a business tool, we have to take it beyond the social medium. We have to get on the phone. We have to at least start emailing the people we want to be connected to. But really, if you don't take it to the phone, it doesn't work. And the other part I hate, but it's inevitable, is as solopreneurs or entrepreneurs, we're also salespeople.
Yeah.
And that's painful for the introvert. But what I love about social media is at least it kind of warms up that cold call. Like, I don't do any cold calling. All I do is respond to people who are interested in my product, either by things they've said on Twitter or by things they've said on LinkedIn or Facebook. So at least that helps warm up that sales call, because I don't know about you, but that is my least favorite thing about owning my own business.
Yes. Yeah, it is definitely the most challenging. And I think the part that we can get a little lost in the distance that social media brings us to be able to, you know, interact with people. And I know that often we do hope, we introverts, me, hope that, you know, the person will respond to the email so that I don't have to pick up the phone. You know, so
amen.
Please don't make me call you.
Exactly.
So I appreciate you, you know, emphasizing that point, that these relationships that are formed online, for them really to come to fruition and be supportive to our business, and for us to be supportive to them. I mean, really, we're talking about setting up mutually beneficial relationships.
Well, yeah.
It's got to be, we have to connect in real time,
yeah.
voice to voice, face to face.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. And I think, yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, now I'm going to go off on my other spiel and you can rein me in. But especially women, I know men have issues with this too, but we don't want to sell ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what we have to get very, very clear on is if we truly believe in our product or service, and chances are if we're entrepreneurs we do, yeah, we are helping people. And social media is about relationships. So it's not about, when I say making that sales call, I'm not saying, you know, what can I do to get you into a car today?
Mm-hmm.
I really am talking about, okay, let's talk about how my product or service can help you and if it'll be of benefit of you, and really believing it is, but then also sharing as much information as that person needs in order to make a good decision, and doing it without, you know, sounding like the annoying salesman. So it's a difficult balance, but the one nice thing about social media is you've got that essence of know, like, and trust, you know, usually before you even try to sell.
Yes, the know, like, trust is, you know, social media gives us a huge leveraging point for cultivating that in a very intentional way and kind of on our own terms and in our own pacing for introverts, which would be important to feel some intention and some control over how that plays out.
Absolutely, yes.
So I know we're going to be talking, we'll probably delve into a little bit that of more of that in, you know, the second part of our conversation. But if somebody's just getting started out on LinkedIn, or say they're kind of like me where they, you know, they said, oh, you have to have a LinkedIn profile, so you throw up a profile and then you never go back to it.
Right.
Like, I don't even put it in my signature because I think I've got one, but I don't know what to do with it. So I don't know that I necessarily want people going there and having expectations.
Exactly.
So if I'm, you know, really ready to get in there and say, okay, I'm going to own LinkedIn, what are some of the essentials that everybody should have on his or her profile that put them in a good place to really get started with leveraging LinkedIn?
Excellent question. Well, the first thing to remember is that LinkedIn's a website. And so you wouldn't just create a website, throw, you know, a couple things up there with spelling errors and grammatical errors, and then just call it good and start sharing that. So you're absolutely right. So the first thing to do is just make sure you're at 100%, which means getting a couple recommendations. That's usually what keeps people from getting to that 100% point. But here's the thing. Most of us as entrepreneurs, we've already done some marketing research. We know our ideal client, or at least we should, and we know how to speak in benefit rather than feature. And we know our keywords or our search terms, words we'd want to be found on. Now, the great thing about social media is it's like the web of 1996. Essentially, the more you say something about yourself, the more true it becomes. And so now when if you kind of refocus how you're using LinkedIn, it becomes less excruciating to actually fill out the profile. And so what I would recommend is do have that list of keywords. And then use those keywords as often as you can throughout the profile. In the headline section, I mean, that's the headline section, which is that it's usually title at company right underneath your name.
Mm-hmm.
But that's completely editable. Everything on LinkedIn is completely editable. So you have 120 characters to really tell people the benefit of using you and use your keywords in there. Or at the very least, tell people what what your offer is. Taglines are good. So, sure, have CEO of your company name, but then tell people what the company name does, because I could have CEO of LinkedIn to Business or founder of LinkedIn to Business, but that means nothing. Most people, that just means nothing. So, social media strategies for the entrepreneur or something like that I could use. So use that headline section to describe what you do and use your keywords. And then in the title section, usually people just have their official title, CEO. But once again, that means nothing. If someone's looking for a social media strategist, they're not looking for a CEO. They're looking for a social media strategist. So have the descriptors of what you actually do in the title section. And then there's a summary section. You get 2,000 characters in that summary section, and that's where you really tell people the benefit of hiring you or utilizing your product. Because you get 2,000 characters to kind of expand on that headline section. And then there are many, many other areas which we can talk about in the second, but even just those three areas, your headline section, your title field, and your summary section, if you put keywords and you're thinking about the benefit to the client and fully use the entire field, you're already going to have a much better profile than anyone out there, and you'll get found. I mean, and when someone goes on into LinkedIn and does a search for, in my case, a social media strategist, I'll actually show up. And by the way, that's where I lost all my business, is because LinkedIn made me invisible by breaking some of the rules. And so, don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm curious for us to come back to that.
Yeah. Like all my clients say, I show up, I can't believe it. I show up first on the LinkedIn search, and this week 56 people viewed my profile, as opposed to last week before I did this, 4 people did. So it's like a website. The more traffic you get to the website, better chance you have of actually getting a sale. The more traffic you get to your LinkedIn website, the more chance you have of someone connecting with you. Literally, not just connecting, inviting you to connect, but literally, emailing you or phoning you. So another thing is somewhere in your profile, and I recommend the Contact Me section at the very bottom, put your phone number and your email address in there, because that opens up the ability to connect to your entire network, not just your first level of connection.
Thank you for that, because I think sometimes we're hesitant to put that information because we're afraid we're going to start getting spammed or lots of phone calls that don't fit But
you know, I've got almost 19 million people in my network, and yes, I probably get one or two spammy emails a week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, one or two of those automated phone calls. But I also get five or six people contacting me because they need, you know, they need my help. So it's worth
right.
it to me.
Yeah, good trade-off. Well,
yeah,
I appreciate your emphasis on the keywords, and especially using that very important contrast between the benefit and the features. I read somewhere that a lot of people treat their LinkedIn profile like it's just a glorified resume.
Right.
And so it's basically, you know, here's where I've been and what I've done, instead of here's what I have to offer.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's it.
And that's, you know, and that's because LinkedIn sets it up that way. I mean, they allow you to upload your resume. So.
And I'm curious also for the beginner, mm-hmm. am I remembering right that, of course, LinkedIn is free on a basic level. Are there upgrades that one can do?
Yeah, there's a business plan, which is $24.95 a month. And mm-hmm. I actually do the business plan just because I think I should. And having said that, I never use it. Now, my network's big enough that I don't really need to.
Mm-hmm.
However, as you're starting out, it might be worth it to have, you know, to pay the $24.95 a month. That allows you to connect with people outside of your network. So until your network's big enough, it's worth it for at least the very basic, which is the basic business plan. Then there's Business Pro, which is $49 a month, I believe. And you just get, you know, you get more in-mails, which is like LinkedIn's FedEx. I think you get 5 as opposed to 3, and you get 15 introductions as opposed to 5. They've got a really nice little, for job seekers, they've got a new job seekers package, which gives you more of what you need for a job seeker, less of what you don't need because you're not a business person necessarily. And then they've got, you know, their $500 a month program, which only really recruiters need. But...
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the free or the $24.95 a month is all you need.
And would you say that, you know, as LinkedIn has evolved, that it has become just as useful, like you're bringing up the job seekers. That's how I always thought of LinkedIn in the beginning,
right.
was that a way to connect with former employers and former colleagues and work your employee network. But as entrepreneurs, we're coming in with a different objective. Would you say that there are just as many, you know, we can get into this in the second part, but, you know,
yeah.
are there good tools for the entrepreneur to help them build their network for business building?
Absolutely, and more so every day. You know, I loved groups maybe 2 years ago, because groups was the only way of really connecting and starting to share information. But now they're coming up, now that they've kind of opened up their APIs, they've opened up secondary applications, there's just a lot of different ways that the entrepreneur can share information about themselves and their companies. And, you know, it's still the individual. It's still the individual within a company. And the other thing to remember is, who cares if a lot of other entrepreneurs are on LinkedIn or not? Is your ideal client on LinkedIn? You know, I have this discussion often with people in the healing arts. It's like, well, if you work with if your client is in the healing arts, then maybe LinkedIn's not the place for you. You should be on Facebook
right.
or Twitter. But if you're in the healing arts and your client is a professional woman or a professional man, then you need to go where your audience is, and that's LinkedIn. So for the entrepreneurs listening, if your ideal client is a professional, or, you know, even a company, then you have to be on LinkedIn, never mind that there may or may not be a lot of other entrepreneurs like you. That's actually a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would stand out, come up.
Yeah, like you look for social media strategists, and there's, I think the last time I checked, there's 57,000 of us on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow.
As opposed to, you know, Reiki healer, where there might be 12. So.
Exactly, yes. Yeah, you definitely stand out that way. But you, again,
yeah.
you bring up that good point of don't just do it because you're supposed to do it or somebody tells you. Really
yeah.
look inward and look at your business strategy and say, where are my customers and my potential clients? And if they're on LinkedIn, then by all means, go there. And if they're not, then, you know, find them and spend your time in another place that's going to
exactly.
be
yeah,
a good return.
LinkedIn isn't for everyone. I mean, it really isn't. But it is for a lot more people than we realize.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Exactly. So, Well, I look forward to getting into more of that in part two of our conversation. But to wrap up this particular part, which I'm considering kind of LinkedIn for the beginner, or LinkedIn 101, I have a question I ask of all of my guests, and that's if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island and all expenses were paid and you only had room in your suitcase for 3 books, what would you take with you and why?
I'd take my iPad because then I can read the whole library.
I was going to say, no Kindle, no iPad, no iPad.
And you only had enough money. You know, While I appreciated the movie The Secret, I think it didn't go into enough detail on the actual work you have to do. Mm-hmm. So one of my favorite books is The Answer by John Assaroff. And John was actually, he's a big social media guy now too, but he was actually in the movie The Secret, but that just didn't go far enough for me. So, and I cannot remember who wrote the book with John, but The Answer by John Assaroff, because it talks about, and I still think there's much to be said about the law of attraction, and there's a lot to be said about, and then you still have to do the work. You know, you can't put that $1 million bill on the ceiling and then just wish for clients to call. You actually have to go out and and do the work as well. So I love The Answer because it talks about both sides of being a business person. And then Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes, written back in 1860, 1880, somewhere back there. And it really is kind of, he was one of the original philosophers. And why I like him is he looks at all world religions and understands that there's a golden thread and a path through all of that. And I think that if we live, you know, I don't care if you're a Christian or a Hindu or a Baha'i or Zoroastrian or whatever, if you live by that golden rule, you know, you will have more success in life, and it's just such a rich text that it really would take a year to read. And then my third book would be Leadership in the New Science by Margaret Wheatley, because I am fascinated by quantum physics and how we are starting to see quantum, you know, the elements of quantum physics play out in all aspects of life, in religion, in work, in social media. I think social media is just a perfect example of a typical quantum relationship. And so those would be my 3 books, and then I'd be very, very smart by the time I got back.
You would be brilliant.
You're so smart.
Your brilliance would be exponentially magnified. Yeah.
Exactly. People would bow at my feet. It would be awesome.
You're being very strategic with your time. Absolutely. So when you come back from this island and you are just brilliant and awesome and they're bowing at you, how can they find you and learn more about you?
Well, of course, my website is www.linkedintobusiness.com, and that's my main website. So that's where I've got all the juicy good stuff. So by all means, you know, jump on there, and I've got a contact page. Always you can send me a message, especially if we're connected, on LinkedIn, and that's linkedin.com/in/LinkedInExpert. If you're on Twitter, I'm also at LinkedInExpert on Twitter. And then my email address, you know, I'm going to give you I do have like a, you know, Vivica@LinkedInToBusiness.com, but it doesn't always work. So VivicaVR@gmail.com, VivicaVR@gmail.com. And I'm happy to answer questions. You just have to understand that if it's a really juicy and good question, I might shoot a video and put it on my blog too.
Excellent. So, yeah, one question can inform a lot of people in this case.
Yes, exactly. That's what I like to do.
Great. Well, thank you so much for this information. I know I feel very much more enlightened about LinkedIn and anxious to get on there and see how I can boost my profile, and I hope, I'm expecting our listeners are feeling the same. So thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Beth Belo, the Introvert Entrepreneur. A very special thank you to Vivica von Rosen for joining us today. And be sure to listen to part 2 of this podcast series about LinkedIn. We get into some really critical aspects of LinkedIn that you're going to want to know about. Thank you to you for spending this time with me. And join me each week for insights, inspiration, and information for introverts who know that success is an inside job. If you'd like to learn more, please visit theintrovertentrepreneur.com. You can also find me, along with a large community of introvert entrepreneurs, on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time.